Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day.
Today we'll be learning Hilchot Deot Perek Zayin. In the last perek, the Rambam discussed several mitzvot relating to how a person should feel and speak. In this perek, the last of Hilchot Deot, he deals with three more such mitzvot, all mitzvot lo tase. The first, to which most of the perek is devoted, is the prohibition of what we call Lashon Hara. Though, as we'll see, the Rambam subdivides this Isser into many categories. The laws of Lashon Hara surprisingly don't appear in the Shulchan Aruch. The standard reference is rather the work called Chafetz Chaim, written in the late 19th century by Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen of Radin, who we just referred to as the Chafetz Chaim after this work. We'll mention some of his psakim as we go through this perek. Halacha Aleph, Hamaragel b'chaveiro, over b'lo taseh, shnamar lo teleich rachil b'amecha. Someone who transmits information about a fellow Jew is in violation of the Isser of lo teleich rachil b'amecha. Rashi on the pasuk of lo teleich rachil explains that this word, rachil, means a merchant who buys from one person and sells to another, and is related to the root of miragel, meaning someone who hears gossip from one person and tells it to another. The guttural letters of gimel and chaf can be substituted for one another. The Rambam here seems to understand similarly, and that's why he sees a source for miragel in the word rachil. Va'afal pi she'ein lo kina lavze, avon gadol hu, v'goreim laharog nefashot rabot miyisrael. L'kach nismach lo, lo tamod adam re'echa. Tzei ulmad ma'ira l'doeg ha'adomi. There's no malkot on this prohibition because it doesn't involve an action, just speech, but it's nonetheless a terrible sin. It can cause people to be killed, and that's why the words adjacent to it in the same pasuk are lo tamor adam re'echa, don't stand by while your neighbor's life is in danger. And the Rambam says, go see as an example what happened to Doeg Ha'adomi, and we're going to discuss in a moment what exactly he did. In explaining lo telech rachil, the Rambam is about to list four levels of prohibited speech in increasing degree of severity. Halacha bet, ezu rachil, zeshu to'ein dvarim, v'olech mizel azev, v'omer kach v'kach amar ploni, kach v'kach shemati al ploni, af al pishu omer amet, hareza machriv et ha'olam. A rachil is a person who goes to another person and tells him, you know what I heard, so-and-so did, so-and-so said, something negative that is of some kind of use to the listener. And even if it's true, this can destroy the world. It can be very destructive. So Doeg Ha'adomi is the example of this kind of behavior. The story is as follows. When Shaul HaMelech wanted to capture David in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, David, while he was running away from Shaul, received assistance from the Kohen Achimelech, the leader of the city of Kohanim called Nov, who had no idea that Shaul was chasing David. Doeg told Shaul about this, and Shaul ordered the destruction of the city, which Doeg himself had to carry out. 85 Kohanim were killed, as well as many women and children. This illustrates how rechilut can cause destruction. The Kesna Mishnah points out here that rechilut can even be something which the subject being spoken about wouldn't consider bad, as in the case of Achimelech, who thought he did nothing wrong in helping David. As long as the speaker knows that the listener would consider it bad, that constitutes rechilut. Now the Rambam tells us about two types of speech which are worse than rechilut. Yesh avon gadol mize ad ma'od, v'hu b'chalal lav ze, v'hu lashon hara, v'hu ha'mesaper b'gnut chaviro, afa pish amar emet, aval homer sheker, motzi shemra al chaviro nikra. Worse than rechilut is just someone who gossips and says bad things about another person, and even if what he says is true, that's what's referred to as lashon hara. Someone who speaks false things about his fellow Jew, that person is called a motzi shemra. The term motzi shemra comes from the psukim in Devarim, in Parshat Ki Tetze, about a husband who falsely accuses his new wife of having committed adultery before they began to live together. The Rambam using it in the more general sense of anyone who speaks falsely about his fellow Jew. And finally, level four of al ba'al lashon hara, zeh sheyoshev omer kach v'kach asa ploni, kach v'kach ayu avotav, kach v'kach shemati alav, v'mer dvarim shel genai. Al zeh katuv omer, yachreit Hashem kol siftei chalakot, lashon medaberet gedolot. The worst level is that of a ba'al lashon hara who doesn't just speak this sporadically on occasion, but it becomes a habit for him, and people know of him as a gossip. And about such a person, the pasuk in Tehillim says, God should cut off the lips of all those who speak flattery, and the tongue that speaks gedolot, meaning arrogance or bad words, and that we're about to read now a drasha on the pasuk. There's a saga deraivit here, where the deraivit claims that the Rambam's order is incorrect. He considers rechilut, which is the Rambam's first level, worse than lashon hara and motzi shemra, which the Rambam wrote as his second and third levels. Even though the speech itself is not as bad in rechilut, as we saw from the Kesef Mishnah, it can be something that the subject would freely admit to, it can have destructive consequences, like in the case of Doeg and Nov. Unlike Lashon Hara and Motzi Shemra, which are forms of general negative speech without foreseeable consequences. A person just likes to gossip and say bad things about other people. Why does the Rambam nonetheless consider Lashon Hara and Motzi Shemra worse? Either because he feels that any negative speech can eventually hurt the subject of the speech, he seems to say this in Halacha Hey, as we'll see soon, or perhaps the Rambam is focused less on the consequences and more on the flaw in the character of the speaker. This is, after all, Hilchot Deot. In that sense, Lashon Hara and Motzi Shemra are worse than Rechilut, because they are just pointless gossip, not told for any real purpose. Halacha Gimel. Amru Chachamim, Shalosh Averot Nifra'in Min Ha'adam Ba'olam Hazeh, Ve'inu Chedek L'olam Haba. Avodah Zarah V'Giloy Averot U'Shvichut Amim, V'Lashon Hara K'neged Kulam. Chazal said there are three big averot. We saw these back in Hilchot Yisod Torah Perek Hey, with regards to Kiddush Hashem. Three big averot on which a person gets a punishment in Olam Hazeh and does not have a share in Olam Haba. And those are Avodah Zarah, idol worship, Giloy Arayot, certain sexual averot, and Shvichut Amim, murder. And Lashon Hara is worse than all of them. The basis for this drasha, it's a statement from the Yerushalmi, is that each of these three sins is referred to in Chumash as gadol in different contexts. For instance, Cain, when he killed Hevel, said, gadol avoni mineso, my sin is too great to bear. So their murder is referred to as gadol. And there's a similar pasuk for Giloy Arayot and a similar pasuk for Avodah Zarah. Lashon Hara, on the other hand, in the pasuk we just read at the end of Halacha Bet, is referred to as gidolot, literally meaning arrogance, but it's the plural of gadol. So that shows that it's worse than these three big avirot. Va'od amru chachamim. Chazal also said that anyone who speaks Lashon Hara, it's as if he rejects God, because this pasuk in Tehillim, right after the last one, about people who speak Lashon Hara, who say, by our tongues we shall prevail, with lips such as ours, who can be our master? As if to say that because they value their speech so much, they reject the idea of having any authority above them. V'odomru chachamim, shlosha lashon hara horeget, ha'omro v'hamkablo v'zeh sh'omrim alav, v'hamkablo yater min ha'omro. Chazal also said there are three people that lashon hara can kill, the one who speaks it, the one who receives it, and the subject of whom it is spoken. And the one who receives it deserves punishment worse than the one who speaks it. The rationale for that would seem to be that if the person listening would not accept Lashon Hara at all, then Lashon Hara would not have any negative effect. It would just die on the spot. The Chafetz Chaim says that one situation which a person is allowed to listen to Lashon Hara is if he thinks that by doing so, he'll be able to calm the speaker to the point that he won't continue to spread the Lashon Hara, or convince him that he might be wrong. Halacha Dalet. V'yesham dvarim shehem avak lashon hara. There are things that are not genuine lashon hara, but like literally the dust of lashon hara. That is, they resemble lashon hara and are also prohibited, but they are not genuine lashon hara. We could call them quasi lashon hara. And now the Rambam is going to list four examples. Ketzad. Mi omar leploni shiya kamotshu ata. Oshiomar, Shitkumi Ploni, Nirotelodia Ma Ira Umehaya, Khaibsebadrim Haidu. This is to someone who hints to Lashon Hara, who says about someone, oh, who would have thought that he could reach the place he's in now? Or if he says, oh, let's not talk about so and so, I don't wanna tell you what I heard about him. In that sense, he's hinting to Lashon Hara, and that is also prohibited. V'chein ha-mesaper b'tovat chavero b'fnei son'av, harei zavak lashon hara, sh'ze gorem lehem sh'yisapru b'gnuto. V'al inyan ze amar Shlomo mevarech re'ehu b'kol gadol b'boker hashkem klalat echashev lo, sh'mitoch tevato balidei ra'ato. So a second example of avak lashon hara is if, let's say, Reuven speaks nice things about Shimon, but in front of someone who does not like Shimon. And by doing so, he causes that person, the listener, to respond by saying some bad things about him. So this is what Shlomo meant in the Pasuk in Mishlei when he talks about how one person can praise another and it can still be considered a curse, because by praising him, he ends up causing bad things to be said about him. The Rambam goes on, a third example of avak lashon hara, v'chein hamesaper b'lashon hara derech schok v'derech kalut rosh, klomar sheino medaber b'sina, husha shlomo amar, kemitlalea hayorez zikim chitzim v'mavet, kein ish rima et re'ehu v'amar halo mesachek ani. This third example is someone who speaks lashon hara in a manner, in a joking manner, as if he's not serious, as if he doesn't understand the severity of what he's saying. And here Shlomo has another pasuk in Mishlei where he talks about someone who plays with dangerous objects like arrows and fire. Shlomo compares this to someone who cheats his friend and says, "Oh, I'm just joking." V'chein amesaper b'lashon hara derech miyut v'ushi saper l'tumo ki'ilu eino yodea shadavar ze lashon harahu ela kishem imachin bo omer eini yodea she'ilu ma'asav shel ploni o shze lashon hara. And so to someone who speaks lashon hara in a manner of ignorance, as if to say, "Oh, I didn't realize this was bad. I was just speaking in general terms and didn't refer to a specific person." Feigning ignorance while speaking lashon hara is another example of avak lashon hara. Halacha hei, echad mesaper b'lashon hara bifnei chavero o shelo b'fanav v'amesaper dvarim shegormim im nishmu'u ish mipi ish lahazik chavero b'gufo o b'mamono v'afilu lahatzer lo o lafrido harei ze lashon hara. It doesn't make a difference if lashon hara is spoken in front of the subject or not in front of him. Anyone who says anything which, if heard by the subject, could hurt him either physically or monetarily, or could either just bother him or scare him, that is lashon hara. So here the Rambam really speaks about lashon hara as something which can damage the person being spoken about, as we alluded to earlier in why the Rambam considers lashon hara to be worse than rechilut against the ravid, who considers rechilut to be worse. On this point, that any speech which can potentially harm the subject if it spreads is considered a form of lashon hara, the Chafetz Chaim mentions the important heter of toelet, meaning a positive purpose. It's a heter to speak lashon hara in certain situations. If my neighbor plans to hire someone to do some work for him, and I know that the person he plans to hire is either dishonest or incompetent, I'm allowed to tell him that to prevent him from losing money. So that's another situation in which it would be permitted to speak lashon hara and to listen to it. V'im nemru dvarim elu b'fnei shlosha, kvar nishma davar v'noda, v'im sipera davar echad min ha-shlosha, pamacheret ein bo mishum lashon hara, v'u shelo yitkaven la'avir hakol ulgaloto yoter. The Rambam says here that if something is said in front of three people, then this is already considered to be known. It's already going to spread. And if one of those three goes ahead and tells it again, then that's not considered lashon hara, as long as he doesn't specifically intend to spread it further than it otherwise would have gone. This heter of the Rambam is based on his interpretation of a Gemara in Bava Batra, Daf Lamed Tet, which says that anything stated in front of three people doesn't have the status of lashon hara. Other Rishonim understand that Gemara in a more limited manner. For instance, Tosfot there says that if Reuven tells three people something about Shimon, then clearly Reuven doesn't consider it lashon hara and has no problem with Shimon finding out that he said it, because once he tells three people, it can be assumed that Shimon will eventually find out about it. So according to Tosfot, the heter is not for the listeners. It just means that Reuven himself must not have understood this to be lashon hara and didn't think this was a bad thing. Given the different interpretations of this Gemara, one shouldn't rely on this Rambam to feel free to spread anything that's been said in front of three people. And the Chafetz Chaim adds that even the Rambam's conclusion isn't relevant if at least one of the three people won't spread the word, either because he's very careful about lashon hara or because he is friendly with the person spoken about. So he does not count as one of the three people. Halacha vav, kol elu heim balei lashon hara shasur ladur b'shchunatam v'chol shken leshevim ahem v'lishmo divrehem v'lo nechtam gzar din alavoteinu amidbar ela al lashon hara bilvad. People who engage in all these behaviors that have been discussed since the beginning of the perek are balei lashon hara, that you're not allowed to live in their vicinity. You're certainly not allowed to sit down with them and listen to what they have to say. Our forefathers in the desert were ultimately punished because of lashon hara. This, of course, is a reference to Chet HaMeraglim, where the Meraglim spoke lashon hara about Eretz Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael accepted it. Now in Halacha Zayin, the Rambam moves on to another iser. Hanokem et chavero over b'lo taseh, shnamar lo tikom va'af al pi she'eino lokeh, Da'at ra'ahi ad ma'od, ela ra'ui la'adam liot ma'avir al kol divrei ha'olam, sha'kol etzal ha'mivinim divrei hevel v'havai, ve'inam kedai linkom alihem. There's a prohibition against taking revenge, against settling a score. That's the prohibition of lo tikom. There's no malkot on it, because again, it's usually through words or the absence of an action, as we'll see. But nonetheless, the Rambam says it is a terrible trait. It's a terrible manner of behavior. A person should not be interested in settling scores. He should let these things pass, because these kinds of things that people generally feel upset about and want to settle scores over are transient and insignificant compared to the important things in life. Ketzad yanikima. What exactly is this issur? What is settling a score? Amarlo chavero, hashileni kardumcha. Amarlo enima shilcha. L'machar tzarich lishol menu. Amarlo hashileni kardumcha. Amarlo enima shilcha. Kederach shlo hishaltani kishasha'alti mimcha. Harezen okem. So if Reuven wants to borrow Shimon's shovel and asks him for it, and Shimon says, no, I'm not lending it to you. And then on some later date, when Shimon wants to borrow Reuven's shovel, Reuven says to him, I'm not lending you mine, just like you didn't lend me yours. That is example of nokem, acting towards your fellow Jew in the way that he acted towards you, as the purpose of settling a score. Ela kashi avolo lishol yitain belev shalem velo yigmolo kashir gmalo. V'chein kol kayotze ba'elu. V'chein amar David b'deotav atovot im gamalti shomi ra v'chaltza tori reikam. Rather, when Shimon comes to ask from Reuven to borrow something of his, Reuven should give it to him with a full heart and not repay Shimon in the same manner that he acted towards him. And this is what David says in Tehillim, that even to those who persecuted me, I did not try to settle any scores and I acted in a proper way. Halachachet. V'chein kol ha-noter l'chad m'Yisrael, over b'lo taseh, sh'namar lo titor et b'nei amecha. Right after lo tikom, it says lo titor. Literally, that means do not guard. And here it means guarding an offense in your heart and not letting go of it. Ketzad, Reuven shamar l'shimon, schor li bayit zeh, o hashileni shor zeh, v'lo ratza shimon, l'amim tzarach shimon l'Reuven, l'shol menu o l'skor, v'mar l'Reuven, hey lecha, hareni mashilcha v'ni kmotcha, v'lo ashalem lecha kamasecha, ha'osek hazeh avar b'lo titor. So in this case, it starts out the same way. Reuven wants to borrow something from Shimon, and Shimon says no. And then later, when Shimon wants to borrow something from Reuven, Reuven says to him, okay, I'll lend it to you. I won't be like you. I'll be better. That kind of thing, even though Reuven is not settling a score by withholding and refusing to lend Shimon, but by speaking in that manner, we see that he's bearing the grudge, still holding it against Shimon. That too is forbidden. Ela yimche hadavar milibo v'lo yitrenu, shekol zman shunoter et hadavar v'zochro, shema yavod linkom. Rather, Reuven should erase this matter from his heart, should not guard it, because as long as he guards it, he might come to actually settle the score. He might be over on lo tikom. This is very interesting. The Rambam is saying here that the reason for the issur of lo titor is so that a person not come to violate lo tikom. It's very common for Chazal to impose a gezerah, an additional prohibition, to prevent someone from violating an issur min haTorah. But it's rare that the purpose of an issur d'oraita is just to prevent someone from violating another issur d'oraita. The most famous example, perhaps, is the suggestion of the Ran in Pesachim that the purpose of the issur of owning chametz on Pesach is so that one doesn't come to eat it. We'll have to be on the lookout for other such explanations by the Rambam of one mitzvah being a gzera, essentially, against another one. L'fichach hikpida Torah al netira ad shimche avon milibo klal v'lo yizkirenu v'zoi hadayah nechona shefshar shitkayem ba yishuv haaretz u'masa'an u'matanan shel b'nei adam ze'im ze'. Since this midah, what the Rambam calls this deya, of guarding an offense in one's heart and not letting go of it, might lead a person to take revenge, to settle a score, so the Torah was very insistent that a person remove the matter from his heart completely, not think about it anymore, and only by doing so can society function properly and can people transact with each other in a proper and fair manner. It's appropriate that the Rambam ends Hilchot Deot by emphasizing a deya, a character trait, which is beneficial to the proper maintenance of a healthy society in which people can get along.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.